All right, Abotai, welcome. Erev Shabbat Kodesh, Parashat Lech Lecha. And the time is short, so we'll just make one quick observation. Our parasha, of course, begins the Nisyonot of Avraham Avinu, as Mishnah Pirkei Avot tells us. Asara Nisyonot, Nitnasa Avraham Avinu, Ve'amad Bekulam. He was tested 10 times, and he passed all 10 tests. I will add with flying colors. And this is one of the earlier ones. Lech lecha me'arsecha. Borei Olam tells Avraham to leave to an undisclosed place. TBD, to be determined. La'aretz asher ar'eka. So Avraham did not even have a destination to put in the GPS. Destination X.
How was he going
to
get there?
Exactly. Just walk. Just start walking and... As he started to go, then God directed him to Eretz Canaan. And of course, Avraham doesn't question. He goes wholeheartedly, without any reservation or hesitation. And that's considered a great nisayon for Avraham Avinu. Walking home from synagogue last Shabbat morning, so some of our members... escort me on the journey home. And one of the members, Mr. Franco, his son, I think it was David, stopped me at the corner and posed the following question. A question that piqued my curiosity, and I was thinking about it the whole week. I don't think David is even bar mitzvah yet, so he's a young boy. But he asked a very, very strong question, I believe. And the question went like this. In last week's parashat, the end of parashat Noah, there's an allusion, and it's nothing more than an allusion. And if you don't know it, you'd miss it. When the Torah tells us about the words Ur Kasdim is the name of a place. It's a location on the map. But the Midrash in Pirkei Derbi Eliezer says that it's referring to an event that took place with Avraham Avinu and Nimrod, who was the king at the time. Nimrod challenged Avraham's belief in one God and threatened him that if he doesn't comply to the belief that Nimrod is the God, so then Nimrod will take him and throw him into a fiery furnace. Of course, Avraham Avinu doesn't acquiesce, and he says, so be it. And Nimrod subsequently takes Avraham Avinu and throws him into the fiery furnace. There was no physical way possible for Avraham to survive it. It's like throwing somebody into a volcano that's erupting. He can't survive it. Avraham Avinu would ultimately survive it miraculously. He would ultimately say, V'anuchi afar va'efir. He says, I should have been pulverized at the time of Nimrod. That's Ephod. I should have been turned into ashes, to ash. So that's a great, great Mesirut Nefesh on Avraham Avinu's part, that he was willing to die for God. And there's really no mention of that Nisayon in the text. Ur Kastim, the fires of Kastim, but again, you have to be a prophet to know that those words, Ur Kasdim, referring to that Nisayon. So he asked, why isn't the Nisayon of Ur Kasdim, which seems to be even a greater feat, F-E-A-T, on Avraham Avinu's part, why isn't it mentioned explicitly in the text? You see, you don't have to be bar mitzvah to ask a good question. And I gave him an answer on the corner, whatever I told him, quick answer without getting into a long, I don't like to get into long discussions on the corner when everybody's waiting for lunch. So I gave him a quick answer and he was satisfied with it. But personally, I wasn't satisfied with it. So when I got home, I started to analyze it.
Did you go
first? Yeah, absolutely. I do not have a rule that I don't analyze on an empty stomach. Therefore, I filled my stomach with the good Shabbat foods, the delicacies. And then I must admit that I did go to sleep for a couple of hours as well. I don't like to analyze also on a tired body. And when I got up, I started to make my my positions. So, this is what we came up with, Rabotai. Few answers. The first answer is based on something that the Or HaHaim HaKadosh says in the beginning of our parasha. Now, the Or HaHaim HaKadosh asks a very good question. The parasha begins, Vayomer Hashem el Avram. God speaks to Avram. Now, I know most of us, including me, I didn't make this observation. But the Or HaHaim HaKadosh says this is very strange to start off, Vayomer. Before we even see that God revealed himself to Avraham. Normally, a pasuk will come and say that God revealed himself to Avraham, for the first time at least. And then subsequently, Vayomer. Here, there's no revelation. It just starts off, boom, Vayomer. Where's the revelation? So the Or HaHaim HaKadosh says, Ta'am shediber elav Hashem kodem hera'ot lo. I would have started Lech Lecha, Vayira Hashem el Avram. And God appeared to Avram. By the way, in Perashat Lech Lecha, it mentions that God revealed himself. Go a few Pasukim later, by the way. Go to Pasuk Zion. And what does it say? Vayira Adonai el Avram. So shouldn't have that Pasuk been written before Vayomer? Say, Vayera, he appeared to him, and then... So it sounds like that in the beginning of the parasha, you're just getting a Vayomer without a Vayera. That's what Amikadosh's question. Clear? First answer, Shnei Ta'amim Badavar. Ol Yotshu Ala V'Shalom Nishtadel B'Hakarat Bor'o Mashlo Asa Adam Zulato. Avraham Abinu was unique. He did something that nobody before him did. He sought out his creator. Avraham on his own. Whatever the age you want to say. Some say he was 5 years old. Some say he was a little younger. He started to rationally come to conclusions that there must be a Bore. There's a, the world has a designer, divine design. So therefore, Or HaHaim HaKadosh says, God did not have to reveal himself to Avraham, because already Avraham revealed God to him. Avraham already revealed God. God doesn't have to reveal himself to somebody that figured it out on his own. Lo hutzrak lehigalot elav. Uchvar hukar etzlo hamedaber. Already the listener, which is Avraham, he recognized God already. So God doesn't have to introduce himself by Yira Elam. Bore Elam says, I found you from earth. So God did not have to introduce himself from heaven. That's the first answer, which is a beautiful answer. But we really need the second answer for what we came to discuss today. Oif Shad. Or he says, Kidiyot Adam Rishon Bakdusha Asher Ba'asara Dorot Shekadmuhu Lo Aya Adam Shekir La Oto V'Diber Oto Elohim. This is the first time in 10 generations that preceded him that God revealed himself to somebody. The last one that God revealed himself was Noah. 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. Anybody wants to hear a nice derash on that? I'll refer you to this week's Pirkei Avot Shi'ur, where we took apart the Mishnah, the fifth chapter in the second Mishnah, 10 generations from Noah to Avraham, Ayin Sham. You heard it already, Jacob?
No, I haven't.
Lezeh, Nahag Hashem Imo Beseder Zeh. Shelo Hirash Shekhinato Elav. God does not reveal his Shekhinah to someone. That is an unbelievable point. Ad shebahan oto. Until he puts him through the test. Im mikayem gezerotav. What is what Haimakadosh is saying here? Of course, God ultimately will reveal himself to Abraham. But first, he has to earn it. And how do you earn revelation? By fulfilling the command of God. Until this point, Abraham did not fulfill any command. He was never given an instruction. He was never given something to do. So therefore, God says, as Or HaKadosh, only la'achar shekiyem devarav, v'halach lo me'artzo, God comes to Abraham with the first instruction. Revelation is a high level. But Abraham says, you didn't do anything to deserve revelation yet. You didn't follow any of my commandments yet. So Borei Olam says, oh, now we'll test you. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham lech lecha. Oh, now we'll see what Avraham does. Avraham is obedient. Vayelech. Oh, vayira el Hashem. So you see a great lesson. The lesson being that the barometer that we measure a Jew, if he's worthy of revelation or not, is if he follows the command of God. That's Or HaMakadosh. So therefore, until this point, God never commanded Abraham to do anything. So therefore, you can have a revelation. But very quickly, after Vayomer Hashem el Avraham lech lecha, and the Pasuk says, Vayelech Avraham, so the Pasuk right away says, Vayira elav Hashem. That first has to be a commandment, and then there has to be a response to the command. Evantem? Well, based on this Or HaKadosh, we can explain very well Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim was great, Rabotai. We're not minimizing it. Matter of fact, I will even say it was heroic on Avraham Avinu's point, and we could even call it epic. Something incredible that Avraham Avinu was jumping into a fire in order to sacrifice himself, not knowing he's going to survive, for God. But what was missing in Ur Kasdim? A command. There was no command. This is something that Avraham Avinu did on his own volition. That already does not establish yet Avraham Avinu. That does not establish yet, according to the Or HaKadosh's understanding, the greatness of Avraham. Not minimizing what he did. But he did it by him. He did it on his own. You know, yeah, he could have done it. He couldn't have done it. He chose to do it. Gemara says, Gadol HaMetzuveh Ve'oseh. Yoter Mimi She'enu Metzuveh Ve'oseh. So therefore, the first answer we explained today is, Ur Kasdim was great, but it was a voluntary act. Borei Olam didn't command it. I have no doubt that Borei Olam was proud of Avraham, and Borei Olam was very satisfied with Avraham's behavior, but it does not yet prove that Avraham is worthy of Vayira Elav Hashem. Only once Borei Olam commands him to do Lech Lecha, now already we have to see that is the litmus test, the way you judge the Tzaddik. So therefore, that would explain why Ur Kasdim is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. God refers to the main event where there's a commandment of God and it's followed by a obedient response of Avraham Avinu. Now, you can't tell that to a kid on a corner. That's already a little more, you know, sophisticated type of answer. I once heard that somebody once went to the Hafetz Chaim. Somebody was sick. So they went to the Hafetz Chaim, and the Hafetz Chaim should pray for that person. And the rabbi told the Hafetz Chaim, after all, the rabbi knows, Sadiq Gozer V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mekayem, that the Sadiq is Gozer, the Sadiq decrees, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to the decrees of the Sadiqim, telling the Hafetz Chaim that he's a Sadiq, and therefore, you know, all you gotta do is decree it, and God will acquiesce. Now, Fetz Chaim said back that I'd rather the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer v'tzadik mekayem. He says to me, that's much better. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the decree and the tzadik fulfills the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way you measure a tzaddik. Not that he does great things when he wants on his own. Now, I'm not getting into the big halachic discussion if Avram was even allowed to jump into the fire. That's a whole discussion in itself. He's a Ben Noach. That's a big discussion if Ben Noach is even mitzuveh al kiddush Hashem. But put that aside. Let's assume that, I mean, obviously God saved Avraham, so it must have been a great thing. But again, it's not as great as Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Gadol ha-mitzuveh ve'oseh. Evantem Rabotai, the first answer. Now, I would like to offer yet a second answer to this question, with the permission of our members. The second answer, also in line with the Orah HaKadosh, is as follows. The Torah is not a storybook, as you know. The Torah is not a history book either, of just a bunch of episodes that took place to Avotenu HaKadoshim. As a matter of fact, the Ramban will tell us in this week's parasha, which is the theme of tomorrow morning's class, for those that are interested in attending. Tomorrow we'll talk about the famous key that the Ramban revealed to us in this week's parasha, a key that if you don't have it, it's like you lost out on a very, very important benefit of life. And that's the key of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. It's actually a master key. A lot of people don't know that, so they learn the whole book of Bereshit, and they don't understand exactly the impact that these stories had on Jewish history. You can't read these stories in a vacuum or in a microcosm. You have to read it in the macro. Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. And every story that the Torah tells about Avotenu HaKedoshim is part of that program. So the stories that the Torah chooses to talk about are going to be stories that are creative, not just events, not just episodes. Again, if somebody wants to write a book on Avraham Avinu, that would be a great idea, and you could put, you know, the life and times of Avraham Avinu, and then you could tell me, you know, everything he did. You can tell me all the episodes of his life. But the Torah is not a biography of Avraham Avinu, nor is the Torah trying to give you, you know, every single event, as dramatic as it might be. It's Avraham Avinu. The Torah is coming to tell you pinpointed episodes that fall into the category of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. And therefore, it's quite possible that Ur Kasdim is a great story, but it has no ramifications on the Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. So therefore, it doesn't belong in the book. Now, we're not minimizing it. We're not telling you to go and read the story and maybe tell it to your kids before they go to sleep, so they don't get scared. But the Torah is not interested in just documenting the life and the events of Avraham Avinu. Where is Lech Lecha Me'artzecha? That is a Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim story. That Avraham Avinu, when he travels with his wife to this far off place called Eretz, he said, that's going to have impact in Klal Yisrael. And how do I know? Bediuk was still traveling. And we know that when Avraham Avinu, for example, the first thing that he did when he got to Eretz Yisrael, before he climbed Masada, mind you, it wasn't the first thing that he did. That's when we did that when we get to Israel. The first thing, you climb Masada, and then you go float in the Dead Sea. Avraham Avinu did not do that as the first, nor did he visit, the Knesset. What he did was, the first thing, he went to Shechem, which is probably the last place we go to when we go to Israel. That's the most dangerous place. Now, I don't know how dangerous it was at the times of Avraham, but he went to Shechem, not to visit the grave of Yosef, because Yosef wasn't buried there yet. But he went there because he saw in the future the Jews, who were not even born yet, are going to be in trouble in the city of Shechem, when Shimon and Levi are going to take on the whole city. So he needed to deposit a prayer in Shechem, and he put like an amulet in the ground. So in 200 years from now, however many years it was, when finally Shechem goes to war against Bnei Yaakov, they'll win. How did Abraham know that? He had tomorrow's newspaper. Instead of reading yesterday's news, he was already reading what's going to happen tomorrow. So he knew to go to Shechem. What are you doing in Shechem? Just leave me alone. I'm preparing something for my children, actually for my grandchildren. So that's Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim. That story, great. So that story is going to be written. Anything that has ramifications, so then already the Torah is going to talk about it. But it seems that the story of Nimrod with Avraham, great story. But it doesn't fall into that Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim. And therefore, you know, Ayin Sham. Oh, no, we're not minimizing it. We're not minimizing. Oh, so that'll be learned from somewhere else. That'll be learned from somewhere else. That'll be learned from the Akedah. We have other sources for that. Now, with your question, Doctor, what I believe is, why isn't it part of the program of Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim? Why certain episodes, you know, the key opens and certain episodes the key doesn't open? If it's a key, it should open up all the doors. That's your question, and to that I'll answer the following, which goes back to the Rosh Hashanah's question. Rosh Hashanah Kadosh asked, why does the Torah begin in Lech Lecha Vayomer Hashem? It should begin Vayira. So we explained it as follows, Rabotai. Listen to a deep explanation. The explanation is as follows. When God created the world, it says, Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. There's 10 ma'amarot. If you go back to Bereshit and you count, it says, Vayomer 10 times. Every time God created something, Vayomer, let there be, let there be, let there be. Actually, I was testing you. It doesn't say it 10 times. Rabbi Safdie, you're actually correct. I say it every time and somebody falls into the trap. Baruch Hashem, I got you this time. Always somebody, so it wasn't you, it would be somebody else who used to beat them. Somebody else was going to say it in a second. It's not 10 times, it really is written 9 times. And the Gemara said the Bereshit is considered a Ma'amar. How is Bereshit a Ma'amar? That's not for today's talk. Ayin Sham. No problem. And then it says something amazing, based on the Zohar, Ele Toledot HaShamayim Ve'ares Me'ibare'am. This is the story of the creation of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Behibbare'am be'Abraham. Behibbare'am be'Abraham. As if to say, all this that I created was for what? To get to Abraham. He's the main cause. He's the main purpose. Because from Abraham is going to come Klal Yisrael, and from Klal Yisrael is going to come Torah, and that's the purpose. So they have all this, so the world is created on account of who? Stay tuned. The first 20 generations, we're just trying to move the train to get to Haran. Once the train pulls into Haran station, all right, now there's Abraham there. Abraham's standing on the platform. So Baruch Abba, I'm waiting for you. There's 20 generations, we're waiting for this passenger. So once Avraham Avinu appears on the scene, there's the purpose of the creation. And what? Avraham also has creative powers. Because everything that Avraham Avinu does becomes history. So if Avraham is also part of the Bidi'ah. Avraham is a Bidi'ah. His actions create. So I will argue, Rabotai, that there's really 11 ma'amarot that God created the world. The 10 ma'amarot in Maaseh Bereshit, and the 11th is Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha. That also is a ma'amar. And that might be the 10th ma'amar. When it says Asara ma'amarot, there is 10 ma'amarot. There's the 9 in Bereshit, and then the 1 that introduces Avraham. Vayomer Hashem El Avram lech lecha. That is ma'amar number 10. In the sense that from parashat lech lecha on, that's when Avraham Avinu already becomes Avinu. That's when he begins ma'aseh avotzim alamarim. Before that, not yet. The creative powers of Avraham begin at the ma'amar, vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha. Before that, he's creating himself. It wasn't yet. So that's why you don't put the story of Ur Kasdim in the Torah yet. Because it's a great story, but he's not Avraham yet. Once God creates Avraham with the word Vayomer, Vayomer Hashem, that's a new creation. Kandere, you have to say that Avraham Avinu had to be purged in Ur Kasdim first to lose his old identity in order to now become the new Avraham. We call that the new and improved. You understand? New and improved Avraham. And that's why only after he comes out of the mikveh called Ur Kasdim, oh, now we're ready. Now he's ready to become Ma'aseh Avot Siman Abrim. He had to go through that Nisayon first. So, but that Nisayon is not a creative Nisayon. That's a personal Nisayon of Avraham's own greatness. It affects Avraham. You understand how we're learning? So therefore, you cannot put that in the Torah yet. Huh? There's no avot. There's no avot. For a simple reason. There's no avot. You see, in order to have ma'aseh avot, you need a few details. One detail is avot. In avot, in siman d'banim, as they say. And therefore, the first introduction that we have to avot is where? Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. Before Avraham was doing things, but he wasn't, because he didn't have a din of an av yet. So therefore, some stories, I told you, go to Barnes & Noble's, get the biography. Stories, we have a lot of stories, with pictures also if you want. All right, so how many answers did we give to the question so far? Two. Anybody remember the first answer? I know the second answer is so beautiful, they even forgot the first answer. And the first answer I said less than 7 minutes ago. Does anybody remember the first answer I gave to the question, why the Torah does not mention Ur Kasdim? Very good, because he wasn't commanded. And the litmus test for a Jew is his obedience to command. And the second answer, which I said less than 30 seconds ago, and the answer to that is that the Torah is not a storybook. The Torah is only telling us stories that impact Ma'aseh Avot Siman Habanim. And that doesn't happen till God says Vayomer, which is the ma'amar of the creation of Avraham, which only comes after Ur Kasdim. And therefore, not to minimize the story, but that's how it is. Hevantim so far? Beautiful. Now, they say in America, three is a charm, so therefore I will offer a third interpretation, which I also believe is a beautiful interpretation, and it's a practical life lesson. It's a life lesson. We call that a musar. And the answer is the following. It's based on a story that the Gemara tells in Avodah Zarah, page 18. I will tell you the story. There was a rabbi called Hananiah ben Teradion. He went to visit his rabbi who was aging and ailing, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. So when he went to visit his rabbi, the rabbi told him, Hananiah, is it true what they're saying about you? Right away he called him out on something. He says, well, what's the matter? I heard that you're giving Shi'ure Torah in the public domain. And you're gathering, you know, hundreds or thousands of people teaching Torah in public. And you are taking a big risk because the Romans made decrees not to teach Torah. So, you know, you're putting yourself in danger. I know, but B'zat Hashem Yirachem. I'm telling you serious things. You tell me Hashem Yirachem, you got to be careful. Okay, the conversation progresses. The Hananiah turns to the Rabbi Yosef and says, Ma ani lahaya olam haba. Rabbi, could you tell me if I'm worthy to Olam Abba? See, in the olden days, even the greatest rabbis, they weren't so certain that they are going to go to Olam Haba. Although if you go to a funeral today of, you know, the worst guy in the community, the rabbi gets up and says, oh, he's in Olam Haba now with the angels, and he's Bari Kiseh Kabod, and he's learning with the angels. Everybody says, that's everybody. But if Hanan Yabin to that yon, he wasn't sure that he's going to Olam Haba. But the Amaharis, who never even opened up a sefer, the rabbi guaranteed him a piece in Olam Haba. Okay, but the rabbi gave his share to the guy. I don't know. But the point is, so what does the B'yoseh answer to B'hanin Yabin Terajot? Klum ma'aseh b'yadecha? Tell me some of your actions and I'll let you know if you're Ben Olam Haba. So he's thinking, he says, oh, I got one. He says, in Purim, I collected money for the Aniyim, and my money's got mixed up with the Purim money. And I didn't know how much of my money got mixed in with the Purim money. I didn't want to take a sefek. I gave it all to Tzedakah. He says, oh, Imken. My share should be with your share. It's Hazak Baru. Yesh Tekah Helek Le'olam Abba. And the question of this Gemara is obvious. What are you talking about? You're looking for a deed that Rav Hananya ben Terajot did to be Zocher to Hayah Olam Abba? A teaching Torah in public, B'msirut Nefesh, against the Roman decree? I mean, could you get a greater tzaddik than that? That's teaching Torah under the most harshest conditions. And then when the rabbi says, Klum ma'aseh, they both forget about that story. They both. And Rabbi Yosef doesn't say, how come you didn't tell me that one? And if Hananya doesn't even mention, he mentions some, you know, story that happened with some tzedakah and some monies. In previous years, if I had to explain it to you, I would explain to you the difference is very simple. If you want to judge a person's religiosity, you judge it from his pocket. That's how you judge if you're religious or not. You don't judge a guy's Olam Haba in which lulav he has or which tefillin he's wearing. That's not the litmus test if you're Ben Olam Haba. The area where a person merits Olam Haba is in his wallet. How does he deal with his monetary? If he's an honest man and he deals favorably with people, and his yes is a yes, and his no is no, and he deals with integrity when it comes to money. Because again, I know a lot of people that have a lot of beautiful tefillin, and they have the nicest etrog and lulab, and they only eat the matzah that's made erev Pesach after Chatzot. But the money. One of the great rabbis said, regarding the menorah, it says, the menorah was mikshah zahav tahor. It was made out of one piece of gold, pure gold. So the rabbi said, mikshah, it's difficult zahav tahor to find pure gold. Because most of the gold that we find is tainted. It's not pure. Mikshah zahav tahor. So that's the way I explained it in previous years. Yeah, you talked to that in public. But when it came to the money, how are you with your money? That's the judgment. You were honest with the money, you have Olam Haba. Now go teach Torah. That's a beautiful explanation, by the way. Today we forgot that. Today we judge Olam Haba on rituals and ceremony only. And listen, that guy might not be the most honest businessman, but okay, listen, at least he has Olam Haba. Well, who says? If you remind me next week in the derasha, I'll prove it to you from the text itself. I have a proof from next week's parasha, but I don't want to give you next week's derasha this week. I want to give you this week's, and next week's. Even though there's a rule that says, en mukdamu meuchar b'torah, but I don't think that rule applies to derashot. In derashot, you have to say the menorah. So we explained it as follows, the Gemara. Alternate explanation. What does God prefer? Does God prefer the big things that a person does in life with fanfare, with all the eyes on him, where there's glory and there's kavod and there's, you know, Hazak u Baruch and there's compliment and there's accolade? Or does God prefer the daily living, the daily grind, as they call it, just going through day by day, and there's really not too many, you know, people know exactly what a person's going through, what he's doing, And a lot of it's just pedestrian, humdrum, same old, same old. And he's consistent in going through his... I will argue today that that is a greater test. Because in my belief, people can rise to an occasion once in a while. It's especially if you know anything about what's called adrenaline, and you get an adrenaline flow, so you're able to, you know, do something great. Yes, a person, sometimes you can see him run from one block to the other in record timing because, you know, he saw somebody, God forbid, fell, and he wants to go save him. But more impressive is the one that can run the 26-mile marathon, where it's a constant, steady pace, where you have to keep it up for a much longer time. So there's two tests that people go through in life. And I'm not minimizing the first one, Chas v'Shalom. But a person is able to rise to the occasion. If you remember, I heard this from Rabbi Fran last week. He reminded us of a story that took place, and I remember when it happened. I don't know if, Yanki, you were in business at the time, were there any Jews on the plane, but there was a flight leaving Washington Airport, National Airport, to Florida. And it had engine trouble over the Potomac River. You can Google the story. And the plane went down into the Potomac River. And the water was, who knows, sub-zero was in the winter. And people started, not the story with the Hudson. That's the difference. I'm talking about in Washington. Where there's another story. Don't mix up your stories. So it fell into, and all the passengers now are floating in the water. So there's a guy walking down the street. Regular guy going to work. And he sees somebody drowning. Instinctively, he jumped into the freezing cold water in his suit and grabbed the guy and saved him. I think the guy's name is Skolnick. So he became a national hero, the guy. So they thought, did you know the guy? How do I know the guy? I don't know the manifest of the people on the plane. How do I know? I saw a guy drowning. I jumped in. So he said, what were you thinking? He says, the truth, I wasn't thinking too much. It just happened so fast. You know, I was walking down the street. I didn't think about it too much. I didn't analyze it too much. I just went and did it. Not minimizing Mr. Skolnick's, heroic feat. But people can do that. I recently heard of a mother that has a diabetic child. Child diabetes is one of the curses. And the child has to sleep with a monitor because the sugar goes up and down. And the mother has to sleep in the room with the child just in case his sugar fluctuates, so the mother has to give the kid some sugar. So the mother, all night long, every hour or so, even less, is woken up to give the child a piece of sugar to check him. That's a test nobody knows about. Nobody's making a testimonial dinner for that lady. Nobody's putting her in the front page of the newspaper. Nobody's even saying it the next morning, Hazaku Baruch, another. And this is not one time you jumped in the water, you took her. This is happening 200 times a day. Every day, every night, every week, every month, and there's no end. You don't know when it's going to end. So every day you're tired, every day you're nervous, every day you're scared. So what is Borei Olam? Of course, Borei Olam likes the first guy also. Huh? He did it great. But again, the big acts that are done with great energy and things like. They're fantastic. They're heroic. They're epic. But the day-to-day nisyonot, the daily nisyon of a guy going to shul every day for 30 years, three times a day, not missing minyan. You know, nobody, as the guy walks in for shul, says, "Hey, Rabotai, he's here. Play Haidel Dagul. Get up, sing a song. Get the red carpet." But that's the life test. The constant nisyonot, which obviously are even more valuable and more worthy. It's a big point. But Olam values, you know, not always the the nishyonot. I once heard a story. I was at one of these. They used to make it. I mean, after COVID, they stopped doing it live. They used to have an event. That they used to have a movie every year they produced for the Holocaust. They show it in the summer in the city. So me and the Rebbe used to go every year to see the movie. The last one they had, we went to, wasn't the last one, one of the last ones was on Hungarian Jews. They show how, you know, the Hungarians thought they survived the war. They thought they dodged a bullet. They didn't even believe what was going on in Germany. And then in the last 6 months of the war, they liquidated, half a million Jews of Hungarian Jews. A terrible thing. The last thing. They got caught. So who goes to these things? Well, Ashkenazim were there. Me and Sandra go. I'm sitting there. So one old lady comes to me, Rabbi Mansour, I did not know you're Hungarian. That's not Hungarian. I'm not Hungarian. Why are you Hungarian? I don't know, you have to be Hungarian to come to see a movie about the Holocaust. I'm Jewish. You know I was Jewish? Yeah, okay, so I'm Jewish. No, an Hungarian accent. I didn't know the Rav is Hungarian. The Rav is not Hungarian, neither the Rebbe is an Hungarian. The point is, and I don't even eat Hungarian goulash either. The point is, so in one of those videos that they had a guy come and speak, and he says that he was saved from the train that was going to Auschwitz. So he was off the train, and his Rebbe, he's one of the big Rebbes, was on the train. And the student, the guy's talking, he's alive, he's telling the story. He looks at his Rebbe, who was on the train, who's peering out the window, and he says, Rebbe, why did you get the zechut to be Moser Nefesh, because he's going to go to Auschwitz, now he's going to give his life off of Kiddush Hashem, and I didn't get the zechut? That's what he says. So the Rebbe answers, he says, first of all, I didn't ask for this. So I'm not such a tzaddik. They're doing this against my will. I didn't jump into a fire willingly. They're taking me by force. And anyway, he says, when they kill me, it's going to be in 1 second and it's over. He says, you have the bigger test because you're going to have to live now, knowing all this that you saw and all that you understood from here and all the contradictions, that you're going to have to live now as an observant Jew for the next 70 years without questioning God. Your test is much harder than mine. Mine takes 1 second. 1 second, they're going to pulverize me, God forbid, in the gas chamber. It's done. I'll be in Olam Haba. You have to live with this and be observant for 70 years. You have the much bigger test. You're the lucky one. I'm not the lucky one. What the rabbi was trying to say, that people can rise to the occasion when it comes to certain things. To die al Kiddush Hashem or to live al Kiddush Hashem. To live al Kiddush Hashem might be more difficult. Because to die al Kiddush Hashem, you have to be willing for that moment to put full concentration and say, I'm in. It's great. I'm not minimizing. Shalom. Straight to Olam Haba. We call them Kiddushim. But then, yeah, put it this way. Let's give the classic example, if we may. One of the greatest nishyonot is the Nisayon, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, of Rachel Imenu, bringing Leah into the marriage. Now that's not a 5 minute test. Now she's got to live with that for the rest of her life, that she put her older sister as the primary wife ahead of her. And now that's her position for the next 50 years, whatever it may be. Not 50, shouldn't have 50 years, but the point is for the duration. Understand what I'm saying? Those are nisayonot. That's a big nisayon. Doesn't end. Well, Alenu, the parents that have special children, like we talked about, that's unending. You know, it's like somebody went on a chesed mission for a week and gave out food to the poor people, and they're taking pictures, and they're, you know, meeting all the dignitaries, and everybody's talking about them, and they come back, and the rabbi gets up, oh, these tzaddikim, they gave out kinishes to the poor people, and they went, and they sat with them, and they sing songs with the guitar, and I'm not minimizing, it's an unbelievable thing. And then you have somebody in the crowd that has a special kid, and you know, I'm taking care of this kid 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no glory in that. Nobody's saying nothing. But that's a tremendous nisayon. And what? Without questioning God. Chesed without any remuneration. Chesed without any glory. So what do my point is to say? Back to the original question. The original question that we came to satisfy today was, why isn't Ur Kastim mentioned? It's such a great thing that Avraham Avinu did. And why is Lech Lechayim mentioned? The answer is, because to jump into a fire once and it's over and it's good. What Elam says, yeah, it's valuable, but it's not valuable enough to be mentioned in the book. You know what I'm going to mention? I'm going to mention Lechcha, which is a long, drawn-out Nisayon. Where Avraham Avinu has to walk all the way, pick up his whole family, and nobody knows why he's leaving. It's not like, you know, the whole world heard God give Avraham this command. And he has to pick up, and he doesn't know where his Parnassah is going to come from. He doesn't know how he's going to have children when he's traveling on the road. And God says he's going to become famous, but how could you become famous if you're not staying in one place for more than 5 minutes? He's traveling, he's a nomad. And finally gets to Eretz Canaan, and all of a sudden a famine breaks out. Now it becomes even more difficult. He's got to go to Egypt, which is a tum'ah place to start off with. And as we learned in yesterday's ladies' class, Ayin Sham will be tomorrow morning's class, the whole debacle with his wife Sarah now, having to deal with Paro and all the perverts of Egypt that never saw a beautiful white lady before, and therefore now he's been sakana and so on and so forth. So all this is abundant in events. Ur Kasim's 5 minutes. He jumped in, jumped out, have a good day. I'll see you later. Okay. Great. He survived it. Minnes Kadol HaYasham. But Bori Olam says, back to the story of Rabbi Hananya ben Tadanyon. Rabbi Hananya ben Tadanyon, yeah, he taught Torah in public, but that's already, you know, action. Teach Torah in public. But when nobody's watching, and you're at home, and you got the monies of Purim got mixed up with your personal money, and that nobody will know one way or the other. No one's going to know if you gave it, if you didn't give it, and I don't think anybody's going to really care at the end of the day either also. Teach it to our public, oh-ho. So therefore, when Rabbi Yosef's Rebbe said, give me a ma'aseh that you did, give me the ma'aseh, that was an indication that you're involved in the daily living items. You're involved in the nisyonot of day-to-day living. Not only the grandiose things, not only the things that are, you know, that don't make the front cover of the newspaper. You're involved also in the regular things. You know, you did the day-to-day stuff that you're supposed to do. You lived like a decent person on the day-to-day. That stuff, as unglorified as it is, well, that's the way you're living according to the Torah vows. You jumped into a fire once. I was like, oh, fantastic. That's fantastic. Unbelievable. That, just because it's on the front page does not mean you're not going to be rewarded greatly for it. But Borilam, by highlighting certain nisyonot and unhighlighting other nisyonot, is showing us the preference of what Borilam has. And therefore, the constant gruel, the constant grind of the tests of living, that is much greater. So we gave, doctor.
Years ago.
Here we go.
Do you want any funding? Had trouble? Yes, we. Thank you. I said, need a parent? It's Friday guy. Comes with me in the car. Went to Albany. I made an appointment with the commissioner. In the car, he says to me, "We are blessed." So we have meetings. He said, "I have 5 kids. 4. We're blessed by the retarded child."
Wow. You see that? Because he understood he was blessed. He understood he was blessed. Well, in God's eyes, he definitely is blessed. Because that's a...
No, but he really,
yeah, of course, not joking. I believe it. And he wasn't doing it for the money. He believed that was his calling. In any event, Abotai, we go back to the three answers. Why wasn't Ur Kasdim mentioned? Answer number one, because it was not commanded. And since it wasn't commanded, Borei Olam says, yeah, you did it on your own... that's volunteerism. What you do as a volunteer is very great. But what I command you, now let's see if you're going to rise up to the occasion to follow the command. It's easy to do your own thing. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I'll do great things on my own. But if God, if somebody tells you to do it, you know how it is. Once somebody tells you to do it, don't tell me what to do. Yeah, but you're doing better things. Because I do what I want to do. I do it on my own clock. But once you tell the guy to do it, you push this button. Now he starts. And the second answer we said is because the Torah is not a storybook. Torah is Ma'aseh Avot Siman LeBanim. And Ma'aseh Avot Siman LeBanim starts when Abraham comes into the world. And when does Abraham come into the world? After he's created. And when does Abraham, when he comes out of the fire? That's the new and improved Abraham. And therefore, that's why the final Ma'amar of creation is in this parasha. Vayomer Hashem el Abraham. That's Vayomer. That's the 10th Ma'amar. The creation is complete now. Abraham is on the scene. And therefore, Abraham has creative powers as well. That's why the book of Bereshit is called Sefer Yetzirah Ki'ilu. It's like a Sefer Yetzirah. It's a Sefer of creation. And the third answer we said is that Borei Olam is teaching us that what he did in Ur Kasdim was great, but it was done in public, it was done with fanfare, it was done with excitement, and it's possible for Avraham Avinu to rise to the occasion to do something that's going to be begin and end in less than a day. Whereas a test that's drawn out, where you don't see an end to it, and you have to stay the course, and you have to stay concentrated, you have to stay focused, that, Borei Olam says, is a test that you have to live with the rest of your life. A test that haunts you every single day. That is much greater and much more difficult. To die al Kiddush Hashem is great, but to live al Kiddush Hashem is even greater. Baruch Anu Alei Olam. Amen.